But the first thing I want to say is, I just saw Beth Corey. Where did she go? Oh, she went to get food. Well, good. She won't want to hear this anyway. And Rebecca's gone. But just look up there, and you can see how hard people work to make this church look the way it does. So just please tell them. Thank you. So we called this a vision lunch. We were just applauding for you. Well, for you and Rebecca and everybody who helps make this, you can see now this is what we start with every week and turn it into what we do, so we're glad to do it. Okay, so we called this a vision lunch. We haven't done much of this for a lot of reasons. When this church first started, Debbie and I were living in Eagle, Idaho, outside of Boise. And the Martins were sort of our feet on the ground here. As for the first, I can't remember, 6 or 8 months, I was flying back and forth between Boise and here, starting a church up there and starting this church here. And so we didn't have time to do this kind of stuff. And it's just, we're probably a little delayed in doing this, but we're happy to do it today. Actually, I guess as sort of the founder, generator, originator of this thing, certainly I've come to it with a sense of vision. But as this church matures, it's not intended that everything here would revolve around me. It's just that when you're starting something, somebody has to start somewhere. So let me just give you what for me are my big guiding values, because actually if I get my way, this will be a very simple, relaxed, peaceful, non-hyped church. And I actually don't want the life of you and your families revolving around this church. If you've been around for a while, you know that I've said many times, Romans 12, 1 and 2, take your everyday ordinary life, not your Sunday going to church life, but take your everyday ordinary life, your eating, sleeping, getting up, walking around, going to work life, and place it before God as an offering. So my simple vision for this church is that it would arm you to do that. If, an hour or so on Sundays, and then whatever else we end up doing with community groups or home groups, or, at some point somebody's going to have a vision to do men's ministry, and that's all fine with me, and somebody's going to have a vision to do women's ministry, and that's fine, and, at some point we're going to have more youth, and so we'll have to separate and have junior high and high school, and I get all that. I've been starting and pastoring churches for more than 30 years, so, I get the normal drill. And I don't want to be unnormal for the sake of being unnormal. It's just that I do have a 35-year opinion. And my opinion is church works best when it fits in the rhythm of your actual life. So if you were to say what would be kind of perfect for me is that this church would fit into what you have as something like a rhythm or a rule for life. Now, we're not a monastic community, so we're, never going to be able to have that sort of a rule for life. But what I mean is just sort of basic, simple things, is that I'm assuming that all of you are making use of the daily offices in some way. Now, frankly, just to keep it real, I don't use morning prayer because often I'm on the road or I just don't have time. And for years before I was an Anglican, I was using ancient Anglican stuff called Celtic daily prayer. So I'm sort of going past Cramner most of the time. I mean, I love morning prayer when I can be, especially if I could do it in community. Okay, don't tell anybody this, all right? It's just between me and us. My actual, my little vision is, I've told Debbie this a lot, my perfect life would be pastoring a little church somewhere where it had a little parsonage next door, And every morning we did morning prayers together, and every evening we did evening prayers together. But you and I both know that's not going to happen. So we have to build those structures into our lives. And so for me, I use Celtic daily morning prayer, and then I use Compline at night. And if I'm having the kind of day in which I can insert midday prayer, then I do. But I'm not always having that kind of a day. So I build that structure into my life. And in a sense, I don't depend on you or, any kind of program. Nobody has to set that up. We can just do it. The second thing is, I think that each of us ought to be engaging with the poor somehow. And if you need a rule for life, maybe you just say something like, okay, just once a month, I'm going to make sure I do something where I'm engaging with the poor. And then thirdly, I think if each of us had something like, okay, once a month, I'm going to interact with a stranger. And that is somebody I know from work. You know, I know them, but they're not known to me. And so it could be somebody from work or school or a neighbor or whatever, that like once a month, I'm going to purposely interact with somebody who's not really known to me. And then lastly, I think all of us ought to be engaging in learning of one sort or another. That is just reading good literature. I don't care if you're, you know, maybe say I want to read The Message this year, or, you know, I want to read a Tom Wright book, or, you know, you're slumming and you say you want to read one of my books, you know, whatever. You know, if you're really slumming and you just can't find anything else, I'll give you one of mine. Right? So what I'm picturing is that me and you have a life that we're trying to live. And the life of this church fits into, it augments, it becomes like an enzyme fomenting goodness in this life that all of us are trying to live. Not that our life is the church. Does that make sense? But that the church helps us live a life. If you just ask me to, like, if I have to say it in an elevator speech, that's what I'd say in an elevator. That I'm trying to create a church community which foments life in the rhythms and routines of people's actual life. Not that everything has to revolve around this. In fact, I actually get concerned when that happens because I've just seen it happen for decades. And I don't think that it produces actually the kind of apprentices to Jesus that we're all shooting to produce. I think at best it produces apprentices to somebody else's vision and some organization of a church. And I'm not blasting or knocking that. I'm just saying I'd like to take a shot at trying something different. We can't be monastic. It's just none of our lives fit that way. But we can create a kind of life in which church can make sense. So another way that I sometimes put it is that each of us be on the journey inward, which is to say, pursuing our own spiritual transformation into Christ-likeness. And if you showed up 2 or 3 minutes late this morning, because if you did, you missed kind of the whole big shift in Lent. So make sure you get here next week, maybe a tad early, because you'll see that even in this Lenten season, I'm trying to specifically get at themes of spiritual formation like silence and solitude and pausing and kneeling and being alert and just the kind of things that you hear sort of drip out of my messages and stuff. I mean, partially it's thoughtful, obviously. I think about a message before I give it, but also it is who I am, and it sort of kind of oozes out of everything I say or do, whether I like it or not. But that's very intentional to me because, for instance, if I say to you, hey, a really major tactic for evangelism today is listening and being a really good conversation partner, well, I haven't said much. Because before listening can be a tactic, it has to be a quality of being. Otherwise, it just comes off cheesy. But if we actually are the kind of people who care about people outside of the faith and what they think and what they're going through and what they believe, and we're actually present with them to listen. But see, again, you have to become the kind of person who could be present. But if you're all full of anxiety and fear and worry and stress and blah, 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 then you can't be present to life. And so that's why I'm trying to create a kind of community that helps us on this journey inward and this journey outward. Now, I, as you know, all of you have known me now a year or so, I never talk like this, and I'm only talking like this. I sort of feel like the Apostle Paul. I'm insane to talk like this. But it's no accident that every Sunday that I'm home, Debbie and I go out to the riverbed with Jody and the Cruises and a few of you, Pablo, and the Nannies are out there sometimes. You know, there's a few of you. It's no accident that I go out there every Sunday to feed the poor. I do it as a part of my own rule of life, as a part of my own discipline. I mean, sometimes Debbie will say to me, oh, you just got home last night, you're tired, you know, you don't have to go. And I always say, no, I'm going. Because actually, I enjoy it. It's not like some big, horrible thing. It's honestly, I get out there and I have fun. They're fun people. And it actually lifts me up. I'm not kidding. Sometimes the girls will look at me and like, well, you're all giddy. And I don't know what happens. I get out there and I have fun. I enjoy being around them. But I've built that in because I'm also on a journey outward. So you see that? So again, elevator speech. Hey, Todd, what's your church all about? Well, we're on a journey inward of spiritual transformation into Christ-likeness for the sake of living for others. That's the elevator speech. Putting it differently, we're a group of Christians who are trying to live as apprentices of Jesus. To do that, we have kind of a rule of our life, and our church services fit into that rule. They help facilitate the decision to be an apprentice that we've all made. Make sense? So let me stop.